Hello, this is Charles Munson. I'm a distance runner for the Dexter Cross Country Team in track and field and an avid power lifter. And you are listening to Iron Dread Podcast.
Be like water. And then we had a conversation in class about, like, well, what does that mean?
All right, first of all, if you have the extra blue cheese. If you don't have extra blue cheese, don't even bring the plate over. I like the forearms more, you know, than the biceps. Mm-hmm. Put it right in, pull it right out. You get two bones. If you do it right, you do it right, like in New York, you only have two bones left.
Yep. With
Notorious B.I.G., again, top tier. The dude was unbelievable. His lyrics, his flow, and his influence, I think, on the rap game, the hip-hop game at that time was unparalleled.
And whether it was a hokey story or not, but during the 2016 Olympic Games, I remember the commentators came out and they said, you know, this may be quite an interesting thing this year. The javelin Olympic champion in 2016 in Rio was a man who, when he was, at least this is how I remember the story, he said, well, how did you learn how to javelin? And the guy says, YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I kind of stumbled onto it. I was trying to see how Mike Allstott trained, because this dude was a freak. And I figured if I could lift like him, I could do the stuff he does. So I kind of, that's where I started researching that and found out that he was using chains. And then that kind of led me, kind of stumbled on some articles from Dave Tate and Louie.
The mentality of it, they feel like the guy across from them is faster. So they got to get their hips turned so they can mirror them and play more basketball. It's like, no, stay strong, use your strength and body, punch, sit down, and control the guy across from you. Because if he's faster than you, he's not stronger than you.
Oh, bone? Yeah, that's a little bougie. That's a little bougie. Yeah.
Buffalo-style chicken tenders.
Yeah. That's no good. That's out. That's soft. That's soft.
If you can't enjoy going to work, you shouldn't go there. You know? If you can't enjoy the people that you're around, you know, that just isn't something you need to be a part of. It's toxic, in fact. So, you know, you just have to move on.
You know, we're kind of all a sum total of everything we've done. But when we bump into each other's lives, no, we don't really know what that is. But I love finding out about people's stories.
You are listening to the Iron Dread Podcast.
Here we are, back live to record an Iron Dread Podcast, episode 74, the much anticipated dinosaur draft. We have four special guests here today, starting from my right to my left. We have Mr. Dan Del Duca, the inspiration for this special dinosaur draft, almost said shark draft. Special dinosaur draft from his episode a few weeks ago. Next to him, to his right, a man that needs no introduction. He is known all across this area as the most hated heel in all of Dexter High School, the worst shark draft team in the history of Iron Dread Podcast Shark Drafts, Mr. Charles Munson.
Dude, you said that he needs no introduction. He deserves no introduction.
He deserves. I shouldn't have even given him that much, right?
Just embarrass himself again.
I should have just said Charles. Yeah. To his right, the man, the myth, the legend, the tribal chief. Acknowledge him, Leo Mitchell. And to his right, last but certainly not least, a young man who will be minoring in paleontology next year at the University of Michigan, Mr. Rylan Teddy, is here. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Mm-hmm. All right, to remind, so for the criteria for this draft on who has the best dinosaur team is, first of all, we're looking at pure dinosaurs, okay? So that means no pterosaurs, like Pteranodon, no Kronosaurus, even though those are lived in the time of the dinosaurs, is not technically dinosaurs. Another thing is, the criteria we're looking at is overall coolness of the dinosaurs, most importantly, and then secondly, variety as well. So you can't just, you know, well, you could, but don't just pick a bunch of big meat eaters, you know, because it's no variety, it's lame. And then another thing is, we really want to look at the time of the dinosaurs, like birds, like a bald eagle is technically a dinosaur, but nobody cares about at that as far as dinosaurs. But if Charlie wants to embarrass himself, he can do that, I guess.
So you heard kind of the criteria from Mr. Del Duca about how it's going to work. I'll talk a little bit about how we're going to do this. This is a snake draft format. So before we came on the air, we randomly selected our draft order. We will run through first round picks, right? And then whoever is picking fifth will get to then start with the first pick in the second round, and we'll go back up the draft order. So our first round draft order, somehow in some unknown series of events, Sir Charles Munson has been selected with the first overall pick. Yours truly will be second. The Tribal Chief, Leo Mitchell, will be picking third. Mr. Ryland Teddy will be picking fourth. And Dan Del Duca will be picking in the fifth overall spot. And then it will snake back around. We'll do five rounds selecting our top dinosaur teams. And you, the listeners at home, will get to vote on which of us drafted the best overall team. And as Dan said, we're going about overall, the group of the team. Is it who thinks it's the coolest group? I like to use the word, what team would be most dominant in their environment? Best overall picks, which we already know that there's only going to be four real options for the best team, and then Charles will be last again.
All right, we'll see.
Charles, do you have anything to say for yourself? We have been trolling you quite hard.
Look, I'm the meteor that's going to crush the little dino dreams.
You spent all night last night working on that line. Right?
He's been rehearsing in his mind the entire day.
Dude. I saw him in lifting class. He was like,
yeah, these two do have training class together, and they were talking smack before this. The Tribal Chief, he was a late add this morning walking in. We added him to the draft. All right, gentlemen, anything else we need to discuss before the start of the draft?
I think the criteria is pretty clear. I think we're pretty good.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, all right. So we're going to start the first round. Right, our first round one, sponsored by JockoFuel.com. Use promo code IronDread10 to get 10% off at JockoFuel.com. With the first overall pick, you're on the clock, Charles Munson.
First, I'd like to say that I've led them astray to believe that I'd pick a weak team of birds. But in fact, because I'll be going first, I'll be going with the T-Rex, the king of all dinos.
Of course.
Charles Munson, with a stunning turn of events, has selected the T-Rex. Right, we must update our draft boards.
Even I can't criticize that pick. It's a good pick, Charlie.
Like I said, I came for the smoke.
a strong first round selection of the Tyrannosaurus Rex, a dinosaur that, much like Charles Munson, really needs no introduction. But Charles, what are just some key factors that led to your selection of the T-Rex?
Well, Coach, it would definitely be the tiny arms. I really like the tiny arms. That would be the number one reason that I chose this T-Rex.
You still found a way to make it unpopular.
Yeah.
It has a giant head and tiny arms. Very powerful. Might have been feathery. It's up to debate. Kind of resembles a bird. So that'd be my number one draft.
Dude, you made T-Rex sound not cool. Like, how
did you... what was the movie with the T-Rex and it's chasing it, and I got a big head and little arms, and I'm having a... It's like an animated movie. I forget what it was. There was a movie with a T-Rex.
The dinosaur?
The good dinosaur?
The good dinosaur, maybe.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe...
No, and that wasn't Land Before Time. The T-Rex was like the big heel in the Land Before Time. I forget. It wasn't just a dinosaur movie. Like, it had something else in it. All right. Well, Charles, I'm not going to lie, Charles, you took my first overall pick. I get to pick second here. So I'm going to go with one off of my quick Google search, the 10 most badass looking dinosaurs. I'm going with number 10 on that list for my first overall pick, and it's the Carnotaurus right? This dinosaur, right? The name means meat eating bull. Okay, it is known and built for running and smashing into its prey, right? Which, much like the T-Rex, had tiny little arms, right? But also, right, can grow up to 30 feet in length, and it has horns above his eyes, which makes it very unique. Not all dinosaurs had horns on their heads. And they don't really know why it had horns on the top of its head, but it had them. And they know about this from one fossil record that was found on this this particular dinosaur. Anything on the Carnotaurus, gentlemen?
It's a strong pick. It's a really strong pick. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Tribal Chief, you are on the clock.
All right. So with my first pick, I think I'm going to go with the Brontosaurus.
Okay, the first pick for the Tribal Chief, Leo Mitchell, the Brontosaurus. Okay, tell us a little bit about this creature.
So it's a big guy, right? He's got the big neck. He's like big, and he's a herbivore, and he eats plants. And I think that's pretty cool.
Giant creature. Rylan, Teddy, give us some more on this Brontosaurus. Do you have any Paleolithic facts here?
Yeah, the name actually means thunder lizard. And for a long time, they thought it wasn't a real species. They thought it was, I believe, the same species as Apatosaurus. But recently, they actually, in the last 20 years or so, discovered that it was actually a separate species. So there was a point where it existed, then it didn't exist, and then they decided it was legitimate again. It's got a lot of history. It's pretty interesting.
And arguably, you know, my knowledge of dinosaurs, much less than all of you guys, from watching dinosaur movies. Mm-hmm. You know, this Brontosaurus, the nice, gentle giant. I was in a Jurassic Park where the main character in the first one, Ian Malcolm? No, that's
Alan Grant.
Alan Grant is standing there, and then the Brontosaurus like walks over top of him. Right, and then that happened in the first movie. I might have the scenes mixed up.
I think it was
Brachiosaurus. Was it Brachiosaurus?
Yeah.
Okay, close enough. Very similar. Also, the Land Before Time, guys, Littlefoot. Littlefoot was a Brontosaurus, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
All right, well, a strong first-round pick. The Thunder Lizard. They believe that this Thunder Lizard could live up to 100 years. I find that hard to believe for a animal that large to live that long.
I think of like an elephant. Elephants live pretty long. All right, Greenland Shark.
Dude.
All right, a good reference to the previous podcast where I
embarrassed yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, we're moving on. Rylan Teddy, your first overall pick.
Well, on a similar note, I'd like to take a dinosaur that actually represents our school quite well. Dreadnoughtus. It's a huge Its name means fears nothing. It was even bigger than Brachiosaurus. 26 meters long, possibly weighing up to 65 tons. Many people may assume that long-necked dinosaurs are very peaceful, but in fact, just imagine a pair of these males sparring, fighting for mates. They would shake the ground. They are incredibly large. They would be very, very intimidating.
A Dreadnoughtus.
This is a serious hit for my lineup. That was my second choice.
Yeah,
and I was
quite worried this would happen.
I mean, a strong selection. Here, especially for us, and I, again, my knowledge is not to the level of you guys, but yeah, a genus of the sauropod dinosaur, the Dreadnoughtus saccharani. Yeah, look at that. I would confuse this as a brontosaurus.
Yes.
For me, with my limited knowledge base.
Understandable.
All right, well, the Dreadnoughtus selected fourth overall by Rylan Teddy. Mr. Del Duca with the last pick of the first round.
So I am surprised that it's still on the board, but I'm going to pick Spinosaurus. Okay, I mean, that's just classic. Largest theropod, that is known, even though it's mostly a fish eater. I guess it's one of the reasons, but yeah, I mean, can't go wrong.
The Spinosaurus, I believe the Spinosaurus was also in the limb. Oh, that was, this was, the Spinosaurus was not in Limb Before Time. No, the Spinosaurus, wasn't that the big heel in the third Jurassic Park movie?
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I had this one on my list to select too. What, isn't this like the lot, one of the largest, largest predatory dinosaurs that is known to exist?
Yeah, the largest of all time. I mean, I think
of all time, yeah. Just of any animal.
I think potentially, wow. Yeah, I guess it would. I mean, potentially, like, I think some estimations have T-Rex as being a little heavier, but most estimations have Spinosaurus being longer and heavier than T-Rex.
Yeah, 18 feet in height, 49 to 52 feet in length, they're saying on this bad guy. And the Spinosaurus also would tend to live a semi-aquatic lifestyle, where it would go in the water and on land. Strong pick, Mr. Del Duca, with the Spinosaurus. Well, Rylan, that is the end of round one. Quick recap. Charles took the T-Rex first overall, the Carnotaurus second overall by yours truly, Tribal Chief with the Brontosaurus, Rylan Teddy with the Dreadnoughtus, and Dan Del Duca wrapping up round one with the Spinosaurus. That brings us to round two. And this round, sponsored by the official outdoor cooking sponsor of the Iron Dread podcast, Pit Boss Grills. In the show notes, you'll find a link to go and get you a deal on a Pit Boss grill. Yours truly, running a Pit Boss 1100. I would love to make some Brontosaurus beef ribs in celebration of this podcast. And I just might. I just might. And, you know, invite everybody but Charles.
Oh, I see how it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, in typical snake draft fashion, now we go in the reverse of the first round. So, Mr. Del Duca, you are back on the clock.
Yeah, so I'm going to pick another very impressive theropod that really is, I think, is a canceling out Tyrannosaurus, Tarbosaurus. That's what I'm picking. Tarbosaurus, okay. Which, I mean, pretty much it's a little tiny bit more gracile than T-Rex, but otherwise it's pretty much just Asian T-Rex, so...
Asian T-Rex.
Get wrecked, Charlie.
The Tarbosaurus. Again, to the untrained eye, one would look at this and think T-Rex. You know, lived about 65 million years ago when I said it went extinct. A meat eater, 33 to 39 feet in length, right? Estimating somewhere from 8,800 to 1,100 pounds as an adult. Part of the, you know, that kind of Tyrannosaur family. You're saying native to the Flores in Asia.
Yeah.
Right, late Cretaceous period, Rylan Teddy, this dinosaur lived. Anything else on the Tarbosaurus that we know about here?
It's a pretty interesting one. It may have actually spent most of the year living in a desert, very little rain. So kind of imagine just like T-Rex, but mostly living in the desert. That's a good depiction of
Desert T-Rex.
Possibly a pack hunter as well.
T-Rex, but it doesn't even need water. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You said that these things, right?
Yeah.
1,100 pounds, up to 39 feet in length, would hunt in packs.
Potentially. Actually, there's potential that most Tyrannosaurs actually may have hunted in family groups.
There's some
evidence for it.
Well, they talked about that in Jurassic Park, right? Like when they had the baby...
Yeah.
Remember, my dinosaur knowledge is movies and TV, right? We said it already. But didn't they have it? Lost World, second one.
Yeah, the parents hunt together.
They hunted together to come and find the baby that they had. Very, very interesting and scary at the same time. But I think there's a reason why we are not alive while these animals are alive. Yeah. Rylan Teddy, you have the second pick of the second round.
Okay. I'm gonna branch out here. Pick an interesting one. I'm going to go with Diabloceratops.
Now, that one was on my list.
Really? Well, as you may know, it's name translates to devil horned face due to its very intimidating ornamentation of horns on its head. It was similar to Triceratops, but a lot smaller. It was actually smaller than Triceratops, but this isn't to say it was a small animal by any means. I mean, it'd still be about the size of a horse, I believe, which, you know, in today's times, is still pretty big. So very intimidating. It's from North America, actually. I believe it lived in the early Cretaceous. So very, very intimidating dinosaur.
For sure. Again, looking at it here, it literally, or I could see the name, like it almost appears to have devil-like horns off the top, which would make that name that Diabloceratops. Again, this one was on my list for sure to pick. Definitely looks aggressive, and they even there is a Jurassic World toy about the Diabloceratops. Yeah, you can buy one right here. There's a unboxing video here on YouTube. Diabloceratops. We might need to get some of these dinosaurs and put it up on the stage here on the podcast deck. That reminds me, I forgot before we started the show that I needed to add something to the table here. Our first round sponsor, Jocko Fuel and Jocko Greens. Need to add that to the table as we go here. So a strong pick with the Diabloceratops, very similar to the Untrained, to a Triceratops. Rylan talked a little bit about this animal. Anything else we need with this one, guys? All right, so then moving on with your first pick of the second round, Tribal Chief Leo Mitchell, what is your next pick?
All right, so I'm going to go with another herbivore, the Ankylosaurus. You got the club tail. It's pretty cool, I think. He's a shorter one, but he's still pretty long, I think.
Now, this dinosaur here, remind me again, what did you just say? I was typing in another thing, trying to get my next pick ready to go. What one was it, Leo?
The Ankylosaurus.
Ankylosaurus. I have heard Dan Del Duca refer to this specific dinosaur. How would I describe this? How would you describe it, Duke?
A walking tank with a hammer for a tail.
I think that's a pretty good explanation based on what I'm seeing, right? A large, quadruped dinosaur, horns or spikes across the back, main prey source of the Tyrannosaurus.
That's true, unfortunately, 20 to 26 feet,
right? About 5'6" in height, 20 to 26 feet long. Again, a large bone-like club on the back of this creature. A pretty strong pick here for Leo to get his second round pick in. Are you still trolling, Charles?
Yeah.
Well,
starting off strong.
Guys, that brings us to my first pick of the pick of the second round. And up until when we recorded Dan's episode of the podcast, I did not know that this was a different dinosaur than what I referred to it as. I'm a Jurassic Park fan. Next to the T-Rex, the biggest heel in the Jurassic Park franchise, what is it, gentlemen?
Velociraptor.
However, Mr. Del Duca informed me, and Rylan Teddy also informed me of this, that actual Velociraptors were not what was depicted in the Jurassic Park films. That actually, the dinosaur was known as a Deinonychus, right? Did I pronounce that correctly?
Deinonychus.
Deinonychus. And that will be my pick of the second round, the Deinonychus. Because for what my knowledge and understanding is of this creature, right, they were smart. Mm-hmm. Right. They were able to figure things out and learn, which made them very deadly. Right? The clever girl, right? When they found them, right? They also believed to have hunted in packs, right? Which for this creature, about 160 to 200 pounds as an adult. Not the most biggest dinosaur, but definitely fierce. Right? It had that one large, large toenail there on the inside of its feet, capable of slashing and causing all kinds of damage. So I think the Deinonychus is a strong, strong addition to my team here in the second round.
I guess that leaves me, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to one-up you with and go with the Mega Raptor, which not only sounds cooler, but is cooler.
I do agree that it sounds...
It wasn't even a raptor. It just got the raptor in the name.
Fortunately, the Megaraptor comes equipped with a 14-inch long sickle hooks for its claws and was up to 20 feet and 1 ton, which is way bigger than any Velociraptor and closely second, or closely resembles the T-Rex, which, again, potentially is a bird. We don't know.
Oh, my God.
Chicken, dinosaur, T-Rex, chicken.
You're making dinosaurs sound not cool, man.
Yeah, only Charles Munson can make dinosaurs sound not cool. Only him.
This thing was a ferocity.
Only him. But the...
Can you imagine a one-ton chicken?
The Megaraptor, you know, again, Charles, as much as we have trolled you... And I don't know if I want to. No, I'm not going to use that word. Shat upon, if you will. S-H-A-T for all the censors listening. This is a strong selection by you. And quite honestly, I'm surprised that, you know, you tried to make it not cool. But this dinosaur in and of itself is pretty cool. Right? It is a large animal. It was a meat eater. Yeah, I mean, it's just... Awesome, Mega Raptor. Like, it's everything that I just said about the Deinonychus. Say it again.
Deinonychus.
Right? You could say the same thing about this Mega Raptor.
Yeah.
But it's bigger.
Yeah, and name sounds cooler.
Bigger, stronger, faster always wins, right?
I agree.
It's strong. Her feelings. Strong pick, Charles. I have nothing else to say. That brings us to round number 3. And this round is sponsored by the Cedars of Dexter and the Chelsea Retirement Community, where you, Charles Munson, are an employee.
Yes. Shout out Chef Mark. Love him.
No shout out Chef Mark yet. He's sponsoring the next round.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, Leo, are you an employee over there at the Cedars?
No, I've been thinking about it a lot.
Hey, Mr. James Kelly, hire the tribal chief. Right? Put him to work. All right. So, Charles, in true Snake Jeff draft fashion, you have the next pick.
Well, in contrast to the Megaraptor, I will now be going with the Microraptor, which is a extremely small version of the Megaraptor. But again, it's tiny. You wouldn't see it coming, but let me tell you, it's ferocity. Again, I'm going to use that word again because it truly is. And the best part is... It resembles a small bird.
It has wings.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is a bird.
No, no, no. It means small thief.
Oh, okay. Wow. Dude, you found the one dinosaur that everybody could beat in a fight.
That is not correct. The Microraptor was actually a...
Dude, I could punk this thing like 30 minutes.
Excuse me.
It was barely 4 foot tall. Doesn't even have a name. Doesn't even have a weight listed. Right? It had wings. It basically looks like a hawk. A lizard hawk.
4 foot tall hawk.
It's probably 4 foot long.
Not something to joke about.
Yeah, actually, agreed. It was, I misread. Right? It is 4 foot long.
Yeah. It had probably like half this tail.
I would like to just put it,
you know, okay, Charlie,
into context. Imagine you see a dog. You know, most dogs are average around 4 feet long. But now imagine this dog has terribly long, ferocious-looking teeth, claws and can jump on you from the trees. Just think about it.
A dog can
think
jump
about it. You're walking out in the forest. Bam, microraptor to the back. You're done.
Damn. No, I'm not. Look at with its quarter-inch claw. I mean, I got a few stitches, but like, dude,
it's an interesting one.
Dead.
Yeah, you just destroyed its neck.
I have a hard time thinking that this could be maybe a large group of them, like a flock, perhaps could do some damage here, Charles, but I don't know.
You bring in a great point, Coach, really that these are
communal
species. Imagine you run up five microraptors, you're done. You're done.
I don't know if five is gonna do the job here. This is like a bunch of. It's got four wings, right? So two wings kind of up in the upper region of its body, right? Wings kind of at the bottom legs, right? Capable of flying. Okay, birds scare people. Some people think they're not real, right? It could fly in from above you, right?
Coach, you bring up another point of could fly in, but you're gonna hear a megaraptor, a T-Rex, Ankylosaurus. Especially a Dreadnoughtus coming at you. You're not going to hear a Microraptor, all right? These things
it's
are
true because it's really small.
Yeah, because
tiny,
it's not even
death machines. Small thief, I believe.
Hey, Charlie, you're not going to see an ant coming after you either.
An ant is much more formidable.
Charles.
Less formidable than my Microraptor.
Formic acid plant.
I don't know. I don't know about this.
No, they actually know what color it was. Found feathers, and they were able to find pigment fossilized, and they actually know that they were iridescent black.
So
there was a few dinosaurs cool. They know the color of.
Again, that is intense.
Is that because it was so small, it was just hiding underground and would die easily fossilized, more able to be preserved because, you know, it would hide, so no, it was a meerkat of dinosaurs, it would just hide underground.
The meerkat of dinosaurs.
Jeez, Charles. All right. So a couple of jabronis walking by outside, ruining the podcast. Yep. Well, third round pick, that brings it to me. And, I'm going to pick a quadruped dinosaur here. The Diabloceratops was chosen in the second round by Ryan and Teddy. And I'm going to pick a dinosaur that's similar to this, known as the spiked lizard, the Stereocosaurus, right? Forgive me for mispronouncing, right? The Stereocosaurus, the spiked lizard, right? Similar in size to the Diabloceratops, maybe a little bit bigger. Its headgear is a little bit different. Where the Diabloceratops, you think your traditional Triceratops-looking dinosaur, big horn on the front, kind of resembling the rhino, but has spikes running off the top. Specifically six that can grow up to 2 feet in length. Very impressive display. This animal could get up to around 6,000 pounds, 18 feet in length, about 6 foot high at the shoulder. Right, the Stereocosaurus. Did I say that correctly?
Stereocosaurus.
Forgive me for my pronunciation error. That's my pick of the third round. And that brings us to the tribal chief, Leo Mitchell.
All right. I'm going to pull this up again. All right. So for my third pick, I'm going to choose the Sarcosuchus. And what that was essentially a really big crocodile.
Wow.
But Leo, that violates it's not a dinosaur.
Is that not a dinosaur?
No, it's a crocodile.
Yeah.
Extinct genus, crocodile form, distant relative of living crocodilians. It lived during the early Cretaceous period.
You're opening yourself up a box of snakes.
Late Hamatern, early Albanian period, known around Africa. We have an odd number so we can vote here. Do we want to keep the Sarcosuchus in, or do we need to veto it? Does anybody have a case to veto this?
I'd say I allow it as long as that's the only non-dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly kind of forgot. That's fair.
That works.
So we are allowing, say it again, Duke. What is this?
Sarcosuchus.
Sarcosuchus. We are allowing this into the draft. We have decided on this as a group. Anything else to discuss about this? I mean, Leo, this is an impressive looking animal here.
Yeah, it's
big.
Giant crocodile. I mean, literally, like you think Lake Placid here, guys. If you've seen Lake Placid, that was a real thing. This just huge.
I mean, yeah, it's about, some estimations have it up to 40 feet, which is obviously way bigger than a modern crocodile. One interesting thing is it couldn't do the death roll, at least I don't think it could, because its snout was too narrow. Its skull couldn't handle those forces, but still incredible bite and stuff.
A bite force of about 18,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
Crazy. I didn't know that. Their teeth are actually very easy to find. You can buy them online. They fossilize very easily in North Africa. They're pretty common in the fossil trade.
I think it's a good pick. Again, we could argue, Charles is definitely going to bring this back up again, right, to argue against this because he wanted to draft a giant snake, right? Which is. He wanted to draft the Titan Boa.
During the Mesozoic.
Yeah.
Which is a ginormous snake.
Yeah. Violates all the rules.
Yeah, literally.
Just looking through for more information about this, it said that this super croc, right, is another thing they call it, it was not capable of killing a megalodon, so it still couldn't rule the waters of the oceans. All right, we're getting close on time. We got to get moving a little bit here. Rylan, Teddy, your pick of the third round.
This one, I'm going to pick my first carnivore. I'm going to go with Nanoxaurus. This is a not super well-known one. This is a, basically, we've had T-Rex. We've had Tarbosaurus, the desert T-Rex. This is the polar T-Rex. This was a Tyrannosaur. Lots smaller than a T-Rex, but still quite large, way taller than a person. And these actually lived way, way up in North America. These were, they would have lived in snow through part of the year. They would have lived in the winter through absolute darkness. They were completely covered in feathers. And they were likely pack hunters as well. It's very scary.
I mean, basically, you're looking at the polar bear lizard. Do we let Trey we met in into this?
No.
Trey is standing by the door trying to break in. We're not going to let him in because God knows what he's going to say. Hopefully that door is locked. Or he didn't try. living in cold climates, northern slope of Alaska, 70 to 68 million years ago. As Rylan mentioned, a little bit smaller than a T-Rex, but literally the name means polar bear lizard. And what I'm looking at right here looks like a smaller T-Rex crossed with a polar bear. Must be tough in those climates to find food. You think like how the polar bear struggles, right?
Yeah, it'd be tough.
Mm. And moving packs. All right, moving along. Last pick of the third round, Mr. Del Duca.
All right, well, I'm going to pick a very... unique dinosaur, but also very famous, quite large. There is Therizinosaurus. That's the one with
the big claw hands.
Yeah, Edward Scissorhands.
I would just like to say that he has stolen almost every single one of my picks. I have a feeling that he might be looking over my shoulder.
He's just
my phone. I actually have a sneaking suspicion that
your phone ain't. You think I would have told you about the microphone?
How long is this?
The Duke is prepared. He prepares for this stuff.
If I was picking off your list, I'd be like second last.
Somehow he is also chosen my next pick as well.
Interesting.
Now, I believe you did bring this dinosaur. Did you bring this dinosaur up on your episode of the podcast? I believe you have. I think you did. The Therizinosaurus. Right? It is... A literally long neck creature, not quite as large as any of the other ones that we've talked about 1,100 pounds, long claws on the front hands, and like you guys mentioned about like Edward Scissorhands looking look at things. Interesting. Interesting interesting creature. Okay. Moving along, Mr. Del Duca, your next pick will be at the start here of the fourth round as the draft snakes back. And this round is sponsored by our guy, Chef Mark, Chef B's Catering. You're in the local area here and you need a caterer, call my guy, Chef Mark. Charles, just tell him a little bit about some of Chef Mark's food.
He cooks amazing food, let me tell you. He also is the executive chef at the Cedars of Dexter, in which almost every single resident has never had a complaint about the quality and just precision of the food that is created. The sanitization and the care he takes into prepping the food is quite amazing, as well as a great attitude. And he brings a lot to the city of Dexter.
Charles, you know, putting the chef over, and he does deserve that. The chef he's that dude. Right? I've had his cooking before. He's the man, and I like Chef Mark. But Mr. Del Duca, your first pick here in round four.
All right. I think we got to speed round this because I got to get back to class soon. But anyway, I'm going to pick a very classic one. Everybody who's watched Jurassic Park will know this one, Brachiosaurus. All right.
The Brachiosaurus. Okay, the Brachiosaurus is Mr. Del Duca's next pick. Tell us more. The Brachiosaurus, very similar to.
Well, I mean, it's a Brachiosaurus. I don't know that there's a whole lot I could describe. I mean, like if I picked giraffe or titan, I describe it like a Brachiosaurus. But we all know it's got the very famous crest, and it's a very tall one. But it's
long neck, right? Long neck dinosaur, 85 to 98 feet, pretty large, very similar to Leo's pick of the Brontosaurus, right? With the untrained person, that would be the next thing, right? So, yes, we are moving quick here to get through these next two rounds. Rylan, Teddy, your pick in the fourth round.
All right, this one, I'm going to pick Majungasaurus. It's an interesting one. The same family as the Carnotaurus, very similar. But instead of the bull-like horns, it has a singular, almost rhino-like horn, but very small. This dinosaur lived on the island of Madagascar, which during the Cretaceous was actually still an island. And this was the dominant predator there. In fact, there were so many Majungasaurus on this island that there's fossilized evidence that they cannibalized each other. So they really just ran this whole island. You can't say that about too many other dinosaurs. And there's a whole skeleton at the University of Michigan Museum. It's pretty much their central exhibit for the dinosaurs. It's a very interesting one.
Pretty sure I thought that was a T-Rex when I was there a few weeks ago. the Jungasaurus, again, taking over the island of Madagascar. Again, sorry, folks, but we are short on time, so we're gonna move along here. Right, Tribal Chief, your pick of the fourth round.
I'm going to go really quick here. Stegosaurus. Where the spine, they're like these triangle-shaped things on their back.
Plates.
Yeah. Plates. They had the plates on their back. Another herbivore. They were pretty, like, on the larger size.
They were
biggest
stegosaur.
All right. So Stegosaurus, similar to Leo's pick of the ankylosaurus, right? Similar, but instead of the large club on the back, right, we're going to have spines, right? If I'm remembering this animal correctly. All right. Next round, next pick for me, Jurassic Park fame. Okay. The Dilophosaurus, right? Large lizard, the one that kind of jumps out, right, and hisses at what's the actor? I forget the actor's name. He was in Seinfeld. Jumps out, hissing at him, capable of spitting a black venomous tar, right? Unless, of course, the Jurassic Park, lied to me here, which, judging by your reaction, it cannot.
No, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
I mean, if it was going to be able to do that, it would have had hollow fangs for injecting venom. I guess they wouldn't. They didn't. But like, that's not an adaptation that's really seen. So, I guess there's no like provable evidence that it didn't do that. But there's no reason to think why it would.
The real Dilophosaurus was much bigger, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So that was much bigger. 23 feet in length.
Yeah.
Living in the early Jurassic period. So I'll strike it from the record. It cannot spit poison. Jurassic Park lied to me again.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park lied to me again. But I'll still take it anyway. It's okay. still is a dominant item. All right. So, Charles, last pick.
Sounds like a little lizard to me is what that has been chalked down to. It was cool at first, but now it's just a little lizard.
It's still there.
I'll be going with the Pachycephalosaurus. Pachycephalosaurus. How do you say that?
Pachycephalosaurus.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Deluca is the pronunciation expert.
These dome-headed guys, they look cool. They got a big head. And long arms, longer arms, proportionally compared to the T-Rex, which is also on my team. So it makes up for the T-Rex's abnormally short arms. Did you say potential?
Potential.
Okay. So not a bad pick here by Charles. These were the dinosaurs with the hard skull at the top, capable of ramming into one another. And that's how they would kind of battle for territory. Known as the thick-headed lizard, 15 feet in length. Thick cranium over the top, capable of battling. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to call for, because of our time restraints here, I'm going to call for us to stop here at the end of the fourth round. We will not draft a fifth round. So it's to keep it equal and everybody gets equal amount of picks. So we will run with our four rounds here for our dinosaur teams. There will be a summary here at the end of the episode summarizing everyone's team. And don't forget, make sure that after you listen to this, you vote for which team you think is the strongest overall dinosaur team. Coolness level, domination of environment. You could go with any sort of our criteria that we already mentioned.
Coach, where will the viewers be able to vote on these?
There'll be a poll right attached to the Spotify, and on YouTube we'll share in the show notes where they can vote. Okay. Any last minute comments as we wrap this up?
This was a good round.
Thank you.
It was a good time. Obviously, we would love to go into the fifth round, but gentlemen, thank you for coming in. We'll see how we fare in the 2023 Dinosaur Draft.
All right, thank you.
Hi, I'm Maddie Ullman.
And I'm Veronica Wilson.
We both do softball, golf, and powerlifting.
And you're listening to the Iron Dread Podcast.
There you have it, folks. That's our Dinosaur Draft Podcast. Right, to quickly recap our teams. Charles Munson, T-Rex, Megaraptor, Microraptor, and Pachycephalosaurus. Can't even pronounce it. That is Charles Munson's team, right? Yours truly, the Carnotaurus, Dinoticus, Styracosaurus, Diplodocus, all things that are, all the dinosaurs that are on my team, and for the tribal chief Leo Mitchell, the Brontosaurus, Ankylosaurus, Sarcosaurus, Stegosaurus, Rylan Teddy, Dreadnoughtus, Diabloceratops, Nankosaurus, and Manginosaurus. Mr. Del Duca, Spinosaurus, Tarbosaurus, Therosaurus, Brachiosaurus. Now remember, you, the listener, are going to vote for who you think drafted the most dominant dinosaur team based on the criteria we talked about earlier in the show. You'll find, if you're listening on Spotify, you'll find a poll right connected to the podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, look in the show notes and you'll find a poll. We'll have 1 week from the release of the episode to vote for who drafted the top dinosaur team. We'll see how the results pan out, and we'll release the results on via social media at Iron Dread Pod. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on your Iron Dread Podcast. Before you go, we're going to tell you a little bit about our sponsors here on the Iron Dread Podcast. First one is Jocko Fuel. Use promo code IRONDREAD10 to get 10% off on any JockoFuel.com order. I use this product. I use a lot of the products on the website, the greens,
the Go pre-workout. Really enjoy all of Jocko's products, the Mulk protein powder, all quality stuff made from real good ingredients, not some of the trash that other companies put into their products. So it's good for you, and you're also supporting a veteran-owned business. Second is Pit Boss Grills, the official outdoor cooking sponsor of the Iron Dread podcast. It's June. I want to get outside and grill. Get you a Pit Boss. I love my Pit Boss 1100 series. Go into our show notes, click the link to get all the discount offers, those special offers for listeners of this podcast at pitbossgrills.com. And a new sponsor to us is Hostage Tape, another product that I use and enjoy. Your nose is your body's air filter. When we sleep, many of us may open our mouths and breathe from our mouths during sleep. This can decrease sleep quality and cause you to wake up unsuspectingly, snoring. Some negative things associated with sleep. If you keep your mouth closed during sleep, this allows your body to filter all the air through your nose the way it's intended. Hostage tape does that with a small piece of tape that goes over your lips and keeps your mouth closed while sleeping. Go and hit the link in the show notes to receive 10% off your order. I highly recommend you try it for a month. It has changed my sleeping and made my sleep much more restful than it had before. And I'm somebody that uses a CPAP. It works well with my CPAP device as well. After that, we have the Cedars of Dexter and the Chelsea Retirement Community, Mr. James Kelly, big supporters of our program. Check them out on their website. Chef B, Chef Mark is my guy. Puts out great catering products. So hit him up if you need to cater your next event. Jets Pizza here in Dexter. Jets needs no introduction, needs no explanation. Jets has great Detroit-style pizza. Hit up Jets Pizza, especially the one here in Dexter. Born to Mow, another one of our local sponsors for us, getting out there and taking care of all your lawn care needs. Crank It Up DJ Service and Line Dance Instruction. Visit crankitupdjdancing.com or look up Crank It Up DJ Dancing on social media if you need a DJ. Big supporter of Dexter Athletics and Mr. Ryan Mackey Photography. He does a lot of photography work for our Dexter Schools community. But he also is available for paid bookings. Hit him up at his Facebook page. The Emergency Veterinary Hospital of Ann Arbor, another one of our supporters for 2023. I've had to bring my dog to the Emergency Veterinary Hospital. They took good care of her and got her back home as quickly as they could and in a clean bill of health. And last but not least is Conjugate U and Nate Harvey. Nate has been a huge influence. You can hear him on one of our previous episodes. If you go back in the archives and listen to Nate Harvey. Nate Harvey's been a huge resource for me, helping me get better. And Conjugate U, his book, was the way I really got a good knowledge and understanding of conjugate training being used with athletes. So you can buy his book at leadfts.com. Look up Conjugate U. Hit up Nate, and if you talk to Nate, tell him you heard about him and Conjugate U here on the Iron Dread podcast.